Welcome to Two Peas in a Pod. We're currently living in a time where there's seemingly a lot of negativity on the news and social media, so we're here to show you that's not the case. We'll find great things happening around the world and to celebrate positive news rather than making it a token piece at the end of a news bulletin. We'll be talking to each other as well as guests and see how they're celebrating positivity. This won't be preachy, it won't be political. Our plan is to be positive and hopefully have a good laugh along the way. His name's Kit.
And his name's Ben.
And welcome to the Good News Bumper Special, episode 22 of Two Peas in the Pod.
Hey, bumper special.
I'm really glad that I said all that in one, you know, cohesive way without going... It worked. It was good.
That was good, man. That was good. I think that was, I'd say, your most accomplished intro yet.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
There you go. How's your week been, dude? Everything good?
It's been decent. It's been good.
What's new?
We went for a swim at the beginning of the week, and I had a mild panic.
You kind of did. It's fairly justified in, it didn't come out of nowhere. Some context. So there is there's a little bit of a post that pops out of the ocean. Said post is just to go, there's a thing under here, just watch yourself, you know, don't get messed up. Not messed up, but like...
Don't get messed up, man.
but there's a thing, don't injure yourself.
Yeah, the thing...
That's probably a better way of explaining
it. The thing... In the sea is a pipe that pumps water back out into the sea. I think it's clean water. Isn't it?
It's fine.
It's not wastewater.
Regardless, though, it creates a bit of an eddy, creates a bit of a current. So a thing that I've done in the last sort of month or so is try and swim against the current to get to the post, hold on to the post, take a bit of a break, and then come back to shore again. It's not exactly deep, but it's, you know, it can be a bit of a tough workout.
That is definitely true.
Now, that, unfortunately, for you, where you were doing it, you were sort of going along and you were swimming, doing sort of pretty well. It's quite disconcerting when you sort of look to the shore and you're not actually going anywhere, really. You know what
I mean? For 10 minutes, I wasn't moving.
Yeah.
It was like swimming against a brick wall.
And I think...
the funny thing was, is I watched you and you went like a slightly different way. We were swimming like next to each other and then you went... Yeah. Whoop! Off to one side. And I was like, oh, I should have done that.
No.
I definitely should have done that.
And I think the thing is as well is that with where you were doing it, you'd sort of go, oh, I'm just going to have a quick rest because I'm starting to get knackered. And then you'd sort of like, we're swimming back, or not, you're just floating backwards, undoing what you'd done.
Yeah.
And then you'd sort of work really hard to get back to where you were. So it was just that kind of, you were caught in an infinite loop.
Yeah, it was an infinite loop.
And then, my head, the shore just kind of went, and like went zoomed out and was like suddenly really far away. And like, I'm panicking, Ben. I was like, yeah, okay, here we go.
I do remember saying the words to you, Ben, I'm actually panicking now. And then it was just a surprise when you were like, right, no, let's just swim back to the shore. And then within 30 seconds, we were standing up. And I was like, oh, that's all a bit of drama, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was literally like, that was weird.
Yeah. There was just a brief point. I think the one thing that scared me so much, I realise, as I'm saying this, isn't a very positive start to the episode. However, as I wanted to vocalise it just so I don't develop some kind of complex.
Sure.
They always say the dangers of swimming against currents are that you swim against it, you get tired.
Yeah, yeah.
It takes you further out.
Sure, yeah.
And I had a brief glimpse of like, oh my God, I'm getting tired.
Mm.
I don't think I can keep swimming against this brick, like figuratively brick wall.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, that must be partly what it feels like. And then my sort of logical part of my brain started to go, I'm not functioning.
Sure.
So that's when I started to panic.
And yeah, although imagination went with you.
But then we got back to the shore. It was fine. We carried on swimming. I don't have this irrational fear of swimming. So
that's good.
That's lucky considering the swim is next week.
Yes, it is next week. It was just for me more than anything else, mate. It was just like, you didn't really panic. You just...
I did a bit.
You kind of did, but it was like, you just kind of, from my point of view, you just verbalised that you did. And then you just swam back and went, oh. That was weird.
Yeah.
You dealt with it really well.
Ah, thanks.
So that's the important thing.
We all learned something that day.
Yeah. But the important thing is you're all good now.
And I'm still
here. Have you
here.
Swam since then?
No.
Sure.
I haven't. But I definitely, listeners, I don't have a complex.
Sure.
I haven't just because tide times and whatnot and work and stuff.
Yeah.
So, like that, I think that was pretty... I think that day I went straight to work from...
You did, yeah.
From the beach, and that was not that it was cutting it fine, but it was.
Yeah. It's kind of been basically the tide times have been roughly about midday, which is sort of like if you're doing work at an office, it's like I'm just going to pop on my lunch break for a swim. Like, it's not going to be a thing, really.
No, I think my office is probably a good half an hour from the beach, and my lunch break is half an hour. So
there we go. Yeah. So with the swim next week, of course, mate, how are you feeling about that?
Even more apprehensive as the fact that it's harder to get in training.
Sure.
Now I'm back in the office.
Yeah.
It's running's okay, because running, you know, I can do that in the morning.
You can kind of do that whenever.
You're not relying on...
on the tide being up.
Yeah, I'm a little bit apprehensive. I'm going to give it my best shot, though.
Sure, that's all you can do, really. And that, I mean, as of tomorrow, it's from 5 o'clock, so that's helpful.
Yeah.
But yeah, so what I was going to say was, of course, is that with the swim being obviously next week, those who haven't, obviously do what you can if you can, but go to bit.ly/thebigswim2020. That will be where you can donate and help support us through this big swim of ours, from the pier to the next pier of Herne Bay.
Yeah.
So yeah, so that's going to be good. And I think, yeah, if we can squeeze in another little bit of training together, mate, that'd be cool.
Yeah, you know, I might speculate an early morning swim this week.
Oh, yeah, that could be good. Yeah. I mean, what's been new with me as well, mate? That's the important thing.
What has been new with you, Ben?
That's, so what has been new with me? So
forgive me, that was all about me, that intro.
That was good. Yeah, just obviously sort of same as before, doing a lot of eat out to help out things, you know. Been
helping out by stuffing yourself.
That's exactly that. And I went to the dog, shout out to the dog, which is a great little place in Wingham.
Wingham, yeah.
In Kent, they did some amazing food. That was incredible.
Got a good vegan selection.
So what they were able to do is go, here's the vegetarian section, but we can easily adapt that to be vegan, which is perfect for me.
Nice.
Which is great. And then what else have I done this week? And of course I went around a mutual friend of ours place to Mark.
Oh yeah.
Mark's place.
Shout out to Mark.
And yeah, just hung out. Haven't hung out for a while.
Yeah.
COVID reasons, obviously. And just started inevitably, as we kind of tend to do most of the time, just got some guitars out and just started jamming. You
old
know,
school.
Nothing particularly, or just, you know, going, oh, that sounded good. Why didn't we do, you know?
Yeah.
So by no means is this an announcement that I'm like, I'm making music again.
You're making music again.
But I am, no, it's purely just a thing of like, it was just nice to kind of play music with someone else. Do you know what I mean? That was really nice. That was really cool.
Nice.
That's so a nice bit of gratitude for the week. So let's start things off, mate, with a few comments that we've had recently.
Oh, go on. Yeah.
So,
love a comment.
So let's start with, we've got this one from JC on Facebook, who just simply says, awesome show and great dynamic.
There you go.
Thanks, Jay.
Thanks, Jay.
Thanks, mate. I really appreciate that.
So do I.
And so does Kez. and then we've got an old friend of ours who is turns out to be a regular listener to the show.
They're popping out the woodwork, aren't they?
Popping out the woodwork, yeah. Which is really cool. So a good friend of ours, Jodie, who was one of my best mates during primary school and in secondary school as well.
Yeah, man.
Got married to another mate of ours, Hannah Gilbert and stuff, and they've just had a kid together and stuff and all that sort of thing. So he sent me this, who just simply said, hey dude, I was going to see how you're doing, but I've been tuning into the 2Ps each week, so I've been keeping fairly up to date. It's been a long time since I've heard your voice regularly. Anyway, hope all was good. Just thought I would ping a message to say great work on the podcast, has been really great listening during my dog walks in the morning and helped lift spirits when I was feeling a bit down due to manic situations of raising a baby during lockdown. I hope you're all well and hopefully speak to you soon. So
it's great, man.
So yeah, Jodie, big shout out to that, mate. And once you're back in Kent, Kent Way, it'd be really great to catch up and hang out and stuff. And yeah, so thanks so much for the comment. It was really appreciated and nice to know that we're going further afield of further than we thought. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, as we said at the top of the show, this is a good news special this week. We're going to be bringing you some of the favourite good news stories from around the world over the last few weeks and months and inject some positivity into your day.
That is right, Ben. So without further ado, why don't we cue the generic news jingle and why don't we get into it?
Let's do it. It's cool.
It's time for good news.
So, my first good news story is this. Homeless people to receive free smartphones to help them stay connected. Homeless charity Crisis will provide homeless people with handsets so they can access services and feel more connected. The homeless charity, as I said, Crisis, will give away £700,000 worth of smartphones and data in the next 12 months as part of a 2-year partnership with Tesco Mobile, which will supply the handsets and credit.
Wow. Could work Tesco.
Yeah. With money and services going online to stop the spread of coronavirus, the pandemic has highlighted the growing issue of the digital exclusion among vulnerable groups, including the estimated 300,000 homeless people currently living in the UK. Without access to the internet, many have struggled to access the support services, claim universal credit, and search for jobs.
Wow.
So, yeah, I think that's just such a...
Yeah, that's really good.
A great thing with, you know, something that definitely was highlighted, you know, in the sort of eve of the pandemic, that... You know, people who are going to suffer the most are those vulnerable groups,
yeah.
including those living on the streets who, you know, so without
definitely.
Such sort of things that we take for granted.
Yeah, totally that.
Yeah, so I think that's a really great kind of thing that, you know, a really good project that Crisis are rolling out. And you know, good on them for, obviously, that's part of their, you know, what they're doing, looking after those vulnerable people. And
to, definitely
you know,
that.
Great for Tesco's to get involved as well.
Yeah, massively so. Just to be able to sort of dish out sort of that many phones and credit and stuff to just to be able to kind of get that access to people who did so desperately need it and stuff. And like you say, to kind of get access to the things of like, oh, I just need to quickly log on to the internet to make sure that universal credit is, you know, going to the right place. Or could well be just a situation of like, I don't know, doing whatever you need to do, having the access to the... In the digital world that we live in, where so much stuff is accessed online, going, oh, go on this website and email us at, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, there is that.
That's really great.
And also, two things. One thing is that since the pandemic hit, everything has just morphed into an online version of itself.
Of course, yeah.
So, you know, instead
to minimize
of
the spread, yeah.
Yeah, instead of, you know, instead of doing your shopping, and now I know if you're homeless, doing online shopping necessarily isn't at the forefront of your mind, but...
Yeah.
But things that we take for granted is going into a shop and buying a loaf of bread. People are now moving to online deliveries and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And also another thing, something that I really noticed during the lockdown proper is just connecting with people. And, you know, you know, these guys, you know, they rely on physical interaction, you know, like face-to-face interaction.
Yeah.
And, you know, without that, that you know, can be really damaging for your mental health.
I didn't even think about that, actually.
As well as living on the street as well.
Yeah, so if you're sort of relying on the generous donations of people walking past you, and during the lockdown proper, there was barely anyone.
I'm not even getting donations. I'm just meaning that physical connection, like a
face-to-face connection
with someone.
Yeah.
It can often mean more than, you know, like... Just someone blindly chucking a couple of coppers into onto a mat or whatever. I just think that
definitely
people like that are already so isolated.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if they're in that position, and you know, then
what a good point.
Yeah, to have that kind of you know, applied upon you tenfold with
definitely
the fact that no one's in the on the street anymore. Well. They certainly weren't during the lockdown. But yeah, I think that's great.
That's a great bit of good news. Good thing to start us off. So I'm going to go down under. We're going to Australia.
G'day.
G'day. So Australia signs a deal for a potential coronavirus vaccine and says it will be free for its entire population.
Wow.
Which is really wicked.
That's great.
Australia has secured access to a potential coronavirus vaccine. The Prime Minister announced Tuesday, saying the country would manufacture it and offer free doses to the entire population. The Oxford vaccine is one of the most advanced and promising in the world, and under this deal, we've secured early access for every Australian, he said. If this vaccine proves successful, we'll manufacture and supply vaccines straight away under our own steam and make it free for 25 million Australians. Countries around the world are looking to secure supplies of the AstraZeneca's potential vaccine. Most recently, Argentina and Mexico said last week they would produce it for much of Latin America. Having previously stopped the virus in its tracks, Australia has been seen a surge of new infections in the last month. Nonetheless, its tally of nearly 24,000 cases and 438 deaths is still far fewer than many other developed nations. So, I mean, what an amazing touch for Australia, and to be able to provide that kind of level of support in such a big way.
Yeah.
And that's really cool that they're leading the charge. And if that is a successful vaccine and stuff, and that does prove to be successful, then...
Well, that's how. What I think what they're saying is that's our vaccine that we're making here. So it's developed at Oxford University or something like that, isn't it?
Right. Yeah.
Trialed and researched and developed.
Yeah.
By Oxford University, and like you said in that article, it's the most advanced of all the different vaccine trials. It's the most advanced in testing, and it's the one that's looking like it will probably go live
Yeah.
Before any others.
Nice.
Yeah, I think that's great. You know, it's good for them, and you know, good that they're going to roll it out to their entire population for free.
Which is really great, yeah. Yeah. That's really wicked. Yeah, that's so cool.
I think it's something that we've speculated a lot at home is that that's when you really feel that things can properly go back to normal, is when there's a vaccine.
Absolutely.
It's like, yeah. And for you, like live music and stuff, yeah.
100%.
Even now, I can't imagine what a music festival would be like.
No.
Like, you know, and that's when I kind of really think, yeah, you can't have that until everyone's had a vaccine.
Exactly that. In the that's kind of the reason why it sort of stuck out for me as good news, being like, without any kind of, like you say, any vaccine stuff, that social distancing will still continue.
Yeah.
Which then obviously makes things like theatre and live music really difficult without it. So to be able to have that in place, to be able to go, oh, you've been vaccinated? Great, come on in. And then, yeah, that's just such a great touch and sort of the first step to bringing everything back to normal.
Suppose, yeah,
you know.
Yeah, no,
so
nice.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Right, off the back of that, Ben, I think we need to have a little chat.
Okay.
It's time for Conservation Conversation.
There's a lot of jingles that I've got to, like, fingers in the mix these days.
I mean, this show wouldn't be complete without a bit of conservation news.
What have we got?
Here we go. A lease was granted for a floating wind farm in Wales.
Right.
My homeland.
Very good.
Of Wales. I don't think I've got it in yet. I think that's the first time I've mentioned it.
That's good.
Is it?
I think so, yeah.
Our regular listeners can fact check me on that.
Fact check it on and let us know on Facebook, facebook.com/2ppod, and Instagram @2ppodcast, Twitter @2ppodcast.
Let us Nailed know. It. I think this will be one of the times where they go, Kez, you literally mention that every week. Yeah.
We get it. You're Welsh. Move on.
anyway, moving on. Yeah, so a lease was granted for a floating wind farm in Wales. There was more positive news for renewable energies this week with the announcement that Wales was to get its first floating wind farm. The Crown Estate, which manages the seabed around England, Wales and Northern Ireland, has granted two new leases for wind farms in Welsh waters, including one that will float on the sea.
Nice.
It sounds like some kind of futuristic...
Yeah.
Like...
But in my head, like, if it's particularly windy, does that mean it's going to slightly tip to one side? You know what I mean? Like,
I don't know.
Like waving? Like, but then also, most wind farms out to sea, do they must be floating. Do you know what I mean? Because there wouldn't be like a massive pole all the way down to the bottom, surely.
Well, it says here, floating wind farms could play an important role in meeting global energy demand through renewables because they can be installed in deep water where seabed foundations are prohibitively expensive to build.
Yeah.
The Crown Estate has also granted rights for 10,600 hectare extension to the... Now, this is a Welsh word, and I'm not going to mess it up. Oh, no, this is so embarrassing. To the Gwynt y Môr offshore wind farm in North Wales. I'm sorry, Dad. which is already the fifth largest offshore wind farm in the world. So, yeah, some really good news for renewables there, I think.
That's really cool, yeah. And because I remember when the wind farm was being built and sort of all sorted out off the coast of Whitstable.
I remember.
Where we live.
Greatly.
And there was like a whole kick-up of fuss, I seem to remember, being like, oh, it's going to ruin the
view.
The view. I was like, well, actually, I really like it. And knowing I think it's great. And, you know, yeah, you're not getting like this full sea-based panoramic thing. But knowing that there's some wind farms over there that is, like you say, renewable energy that is promoting like clean, renewable living, I suppose.
It's free. It's blooming free.
Yeah,
we
don't
pay for that. I mean, obviously, there's the cost of like upkeeping of the turbines, but... The actual energy itself is free.
It's constant and free, yeah. So for me, I think it's a stunning piece of, you know, it may not be a natural thing, but it's an amazing achievement that humanity has created to help the planet. So
Absolutely.
From my point of view, I'm like, great, this is amazing news.
I think it looks great. And what I actually really like as well is the one in Whitstable in particular, I think... In total, it's not many. There's only about 35. I think it's 35 or 36.
Something like that.
And depending on whereabouts you are in the town, like which part of the beach you're on, you see a particular sort of perspective of it. I don't know. I think it looks great. I don't know why anyone would be against it.
No, I think, and it's great. And it's not sort of...
More fool them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, to be able to do that out to sea where, you know, it's not in a place where you're potentially taking up a load of space on land, which I know that was an initial thing of like, no, that's making too much room for XYZ.
Yeah.
It's sort of out of the way for people who maybe aren't fans of it. But I think that's great. That's really cool.
Yeah, there's a huge one as well, which I was surprised I didn't know about. We were flying back from Spain last year and we were flying into Gatwick.
Yeah.
And we were coming over somewhere off the coast of like Southampton, Portsmouth, Bognor, that kind of way.
Yeah.
And there's a big, huge, I nearly swore then, wind farm off the coast there.
Right, cool.
And yeah, I mean, huge. I mean, there's hundreds of them.
That's
all
cool.
The turbines, and that's great. But yeah, this floating wind farm. Like,
that's cool.
In my mind, they're like sort of 6 feet high on little like dinghy, 6 foot high turbine, little rubber ring.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Rubber ring.
I have to go out there and like plug
one
it,
of the duck ones.
Plug it into a battery just to charge up. You know, like we've got all the energy from it. Anyway,
it's powering the pump that makes it go and like keeps the thing inflated.
Yeah. That's all it's doing. Just as a quick aside,
go. Great. Do it.
Shout out to Horswell of the Downtime Gaming podcast because he sent me this one. And it's just a fact. It's not even good news. It's just a fact that made me feel all warm and snuggly.
Oh, that's good.
Did you know that bees sleep between 5 to 8 hours a day, sometimes in flowers? And also, they like to sleep with other bees and hold each other's feet.
Oh, that is really cool.
Yeah.
That's nice.
How cute is that?
That kind of puts me into my head, that whole thing about with otters, when they fall asleep, they hold each other's hands so they don't float away from each other.
That's exactly what I thought. I'll show you the picture, Ben. We'll whack this on socials in a second.
So just for a bit of a description, it looks like they're literally like big spoon, little spoon in amongst this like red flower, covered in pollen, having the sleepiest, best time. That is wicked. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Nice. That is good news.
Cool. There you go.
Well done, Chris, for keeping us in the... Conservation conversation. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Ben is starting to hate me. We got to 22 weeks, guys.
So, we've got some more.
No, so that's the...
We've got some more.
What? What are you doing?
What have you been saying for the last...
Conservation conversation.
Thank you. We got some more of that.
Starting to fall apart now.
We've got some news from Kenya that an elephant baby boom is happening in Kenya. Kenya's elephant numbers more than doubled between 1989 and today, thanks to increased anti-poaching efforts.
When you say today, you mean like this year?
This year,
yeah,
yes.
Cool. Not like exactly today.
really
up-to-date report.
Yes. So Kenya had just 16,000 elephants in 1989.
Wow.
And this rose to 34,000 in 2018, the tourist minister, Najib Balala, said. In the last couple of years, we managed to tame poaching in this country, he told reporters during the visit to the Amboseli National Park. The number of elephants poached so far this year stood at 7, down from 34 in 2019 and 80 in 2018.
Oh my God.
So that's really amazing. The government has put in place stiffer penalties, longer jail terms and bigger fines on anyone convicted of poaching or trafficking in wildlife trophies, saying poaching was harming tourism, a major foreign exchange earner. So that's amazing that's hopefully going forth into not just elephants, into like other wildlife that's there, that's being, you know, lions and rhinos and all that sort of thing that are being poached in such a massive way.
But that's great.
It's a massive increase of numbers in elephants and actually a massive decrease of people poaching.
Yeah,
really good.
That is good, yeah.
The final bit of good news from the...
No, you can have that one. Edit yourself doing that. Go on.
Nice. Conservation conversation. So, a town in Costa Rica nicknamed Sweet City awarded citizenship to all its bees, following on from your thing, in order to protect them and to celebrate the biodiversity they create.
Yes.
A suburb of the country's capital is showing how urban planning can be harnessed to benefit both humans and wildlife. Pollinators were the key, said Edgar Mora, reflecting on the decision to recognise every bee, bat, hummingbird and butterfly as a citizen of Corydebat during this 12-year spell as mayor. The move to extended citizenship to pollinators, trees and native plants in Corydebat has been crucial to the municipality's transformation from an unremarkable suburb of the Costa Rican capital, San Jose, into a pioneering haven for urban wildlife. Now known as Sweet City, Corydebat... urban planning has been reimagined around its non-human inhabitants. Green spaces are treated as infrastructure with accompanying ecosystem services that could be harnessed by local government and offered to residents. So, and that was from the Guardian. So that's an amazing piece of, like, to be able to say, like, yeah, you're citizens of the city, butterflies and hummingbirds and bees, you know, to promote that sort of wildlife. And hopefully that's something that can be sprung forward into... yeah, further countries and cities all around the world.
Does that... I'm just thinking here, and I don't know that you'll have the answer, but I'm just thinking out loud. Does that offer them, like, more protection from death?
I would assume so, yeah.
Like, if people were...
seen to be...
Yeah, like, obviously, if you kill a bee, you're not going to be done for murder.
Sure.
But, like, yeah, I think if you're...
I think it would just be more frowned upon. You know what I mean?
Actively harming or killing
those
animals, like bats. And, you know, I don't know that people actually kill bats for sport, but, you know, it might deter people from actually doing it because they have this focus on pollinators. And I think, So what was it? Bees, bats?
Bees, bats, hummingbirds, and butterflies.
Butterflies. Who? I mean, who'd want to kill a hummingbird or a butterfly?
Like, well, exactly that, yeah. So I think just to be able to, purely from a protection sort of thing, and to be able to go, we're going to facilitate more in that kind of way that you see it all the time, don't you? Of like in like Springwatch or Autumnwatch and the BBC, where it's like, cool, you can do these things to your garden and that will promote a good living space for hedgehogs and for this and for that. So that's kind of been moved into more of a national, or I say national, but like a city-wide scale.
Yeah.
That's been enhanced by the mayor's actions and stuff going, cool, these are just as important as you are.
Mm.
And that's what massive step.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Yeah, man.
And so, quick little bit before we move on, mate.
Yeah.
Last night, you did a bit of a shout out to the masses.
Oh, yes.
On Instagram
Live. Yeah.
I did? Oh, I did? Yes.
I was very tired last night. Because I did some crazy things.
Asked people for good news.
Yeah, I did. I just to see what would happen.
Yeah, and we've had a couple come in.
What?
Which is amazing, which is really cool.
Sweet.
We've had one in from Jack, who has just said a simple thing from in New Jersey. 90s homecoming king and queen reunite on Bumble, get married almost 30 years after their graduation. So Janet Fenner and Gregory DeBeese attended Montclair State University back in the 90s. The two never dated, but were crowned homecoming queen and king at the MSU's football stadium in 1992.
Awesome.
Gregory recalls, I wasn't right for her anyway. She was too good for me and I knew it, which is brilliant. And after that, they went their separate ways. Janet and Gregory had their own families, but in 2016, they both went through divorces.
So,
last year, Gregory was swiping through Bumble, the dating app, other dating apps are provided.
Provided? We don't provide them.
We don't provide them, but the internet does.
We could... A positive dating app. No, they already exist.
When he stumbled upon... last year, Gregory was swiping through Bumble when he stumbled upon Janet's photo. It was a match on both sides, and the couple had decided to meet in person. There was an instant trust and warmth. 28 years after they had been crowned homecoming king and queen, Gregory, 50, and Janet, 48, were pronounced husband and wife at the same MSU football stadium. When you're almost 50 and have been around the block, you know, this is what I've been waiting for my whole life. So that's really amazing. And what? Thank you, Jack, for sending that in.
Yeah, thanks, Jack.
That's a nice little piece of good news.
Nice little loop, that is. Nice little, it's gone all full circle for both of them.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
And final one in, this is from Debs, also on Instagram. Deb sends in this thing, which is from 10-year-old Max Woosie. Apologies if that's not how you say your name, but Woosie of North Devon received a tent as a gift from his dying neighbour, Rick, who wanted Max to have lots of adventures.
Oh.
To honour Rick, Max camped out for 3 months in his back garden, managed to raise £11,000.
What?
The money will go to the hospice centre that took care of Rick, his said neighbour, and enabled him to pass peacefully at home with those closest to him, which was Rick's final wish.
Well, that's just lovely.
So isn't that amazing? Just go have adventures. He went, okay. And then for 3 months. And that's a bit of a stretch. Like,
it reminds me of Up, the movie Up.
It totally does.
That's just really nice.
So that's really cool. Lovely, and, you know, and this, you know, it was 10. I think it was 10, I said. Yeah. So for a 10-year-old to be like, I'm going to go camping, and regardless of weather, for the last 3 months, the weather's been mostly okay.
There's been some...
Been some dark days in the weather department, you know what I mean?
It's been pretty savage thunderstorms,
But just to be able to sit there, in my head, if I was that 10-year-old, be sitting there with my Game Boy Color and a torch and a Beano comic and just, like, you know, a Ribena and having the best time, do you know what I mean?
It reminds me, I used to love it when we used to camp out in the garden. You know, just for a laugh.
But then, you do that for a laugh. And then he's done
it for three months. What a legend.
Yeah, yeah. And raising $11,000. That's a real testament to...
What was his name? Max, did you say?
Max, yeah.
Max. Shout out to you, Max.
Yeah, yeah.
Good lad.
So so thanks for sending in all those good news pieces for us. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Now, over to Kez, sports.
That's right, Ben. We've had a hectic week in a positive world of sports. First up this week, we've got this news story from the USA.
And music factor here.
Yeah.
So what have we got in all
Yes, okay. So Super Bowl winning athlete opts out of the 2020 NFL season so he can continue working on COVID-19 front lines. And I am 100% going to butcher this guy's name, so I apologise in advance. It has not even been 1 year since Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, the offensive lineman for Kansas City Chiefs,
lineman.
Was lineman.
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 That's not how to say it.
It's lineman.
It's... Striker.
I'm going to say lineman.
Okay, go.
And all the NFL fans can then contact us and tell
including me.
Tell me I'm wrong. You don't count. You're in the room. So anyway, it's not even been a year since he was celebrating the team's Super Bowl victory over San Francisco 49ers, which I believe is your team.
It is indeed.
But now
we don't talk about that.
Sorry. Just rub that in.
Yeah.
But now the football star is opting out of the upcoming NFL season. Since Duvernay-Tardif is a medical school graduate from McGill University in Montreal, he has been working on the front lines of the COVID-19 outbreaks at a long-term care facility in Canada. So rather than returning to the sport that he loves, he says he will continue assisting as an orderly until the novel coronavirus is controlled. So I think it's an amazing sacrifice, considering like the NFL, yeah. NFL players are some of the highest paid sporting athletes in the world.
In a big way, yeah.
That is remarkably, I mean...
Yeah.
What? Yeah, that brings a real sort of human element to often, you know, like... sports stars who are put on pedestals, do you mm-hmm. not think? You know,
yeah,
like
yeah.
where they're, you know, they're just, they exist in a sort of higher plane of like, they, people who earn that much
like
money.
Like superstars, yeah.
Yeah, they earn so much money that they see the world from a different perspective. And then to just bring it right down and to, you know, such a humble thing to do. And I really have a lot of time for this.
It's, yeah, definitely. And
incredible.
I think a lot of the, in that same way you look at, you were saying it was a medical degree that he did or a medical like based thing?
Well, he graduated from, let me just have a look. It doesn't actually go into great detail. I just saw this and I thought it was amazing. He's a medical school graduate. It didn't actually say what he...
Oh, okay, cool.
So but he graduated from medical school, but he's just working as an orderly, you know?
That's great, yeah. And to be able to... You know, and again, you kind of think of like these American sports stars and be like these kind of these jocks, I suppose, and be like, that's all they did. Their life was sports. Yeah. And actually, no, they're not. You know what I mean? He's a smart dude. He's a medical based dude. And he's, you know, to follow on from that as well.
Yeah.
Obviously, being a fan of the NFL, he's not the only person that's opted out.
No way.
66 other players have opted out of the 2020 NFL season. And nearly half of those 66 players to opt out are linemen.
Linemen. line people.
And yeah, so a total of 66 players have opted out of the 2020 NFL season.
Who are they?
So there's a whole bunch of people. I'm not going to name them all.
Just shout out a few.
So I'm going to shout out a few. Have you or are you aware of the, for example, the New England Patriots?
Yes.
So that's kind of like the famous one. If you don't necessarily know about NFL, you probably know about
them. I'm going to say Tom Brady.
Tom Brady, correct.
Yes.
Now, there was a big news thing within the world of the NFL. Tom Brady, after many, many, many years and many Super Bowl wins in New England, has moved over to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Right.
So he's now no longer, the star quarterback is no longer there. As well as that, 8 other New England members, players, will not play because they've opted out as well. So that's going to be like a significant like drop in sort of star players in their team.
Yeah. So is this just, I mean, okay, just to give some context.
Yeah.
Before I congratulate them or whatever, is this as a, because they're concerned about,
so the whole thing about like the whole thing of opting out is you can choose to, basically it was the whole thing of it is your choice, you know what I mean,
you can choose, you like, you know what, I'm not comfortable with this coming back yet.
Completely.
And I know in the States they have a really different situation with regards to,
they've got a massively different situation
how high
they're people in the world,
how high they rate death rate is and whatnot. I don't blame them whatsoever. I don't think I could,
like
if I was a superstar sports person, I don't think I would, you know, in a country with such high rates of infection and whatnot.
Definitely that. And I think, so for example, Broncos safety, Justin Simmons, has said these are not easy decisions to make as a player, especially when you love the game, but family will always come first.
Absolutely.
I've had a lot of difficult conversations with my wife, and it's not going to be easy. Just like for the rest of America, it's not easy for anyone right now. Albert Wilson, who is the Miami Dolphins wide receiver, to make the decision to go public and tell everyone that he's opting out, is he said on Twitter, "It's not an easy decision to make. I've decided to opt out this 2020 season. It was a very tough choice, but since the day I started playing the game, it's always been faith, family, football. Because of this crazy time, I chose to put my family in the best situation I see fit. I'll stand by my teammates and my brothers to support them 100% throughout the season, and we'll be counting the days until I can join them again. One love. So I think a lot of the vibe that I've generally seen is a lot of people going like, I need to protect my family and I want to protect my family. And family has definitely come first.
Yeah.
And some people like, there's in that whole way of like, I'd much love the game. I need to protect myself. So that's been the general vibe.
Yeah.
And only three teams have had people who haven't opted out, which is the Steelers in Pittsburgh, the Falcons in Atlanta, and the Chargers, who are now in LA. So,
all right,
so okay. Yeah. So it's... I think it's amazing that we've had, you know, the Kansas City linemen then actually out on the front lines, which is amazing. But yeah. I think it's been great to see that other people have been extending that, opting out to ensure that they can, yeah, look after people around them and stuff. But yeah. It's going to make for a really interesting season. A lot of people who are sort of really prolific in the game have gone,
yeah,
you know, for the season. So it's going to be an interesting one.
Yeah.
So, yes. So, I've got a quick fire sports round thing for you, mate.
Okay. Go on. Hit me.
We're going to hit you up some football news.
This is UK. Soccer. Soccer.
Yes.
Sorry, man.
I'm going to be butchered for saying soccer rather than... It is football. You hit it with a foot and it's a ball.
Yeah, yes. And in NFL, you throw it with your hand.
I know. That's one thing that as an NFL fan, it's definitely always been a thing of like, but it's not football. I'm like, yeah, I know. I don't have an answer for that. Like, I can't stick up for it in that way at all.
I literally can't defend it.
They kick it a couple of times, maybe five times in a game, maybe more. Like, so yeah. So we're going to focus in on a few of football's biggest stars and some positive news from them.
Football's biggest stars and Joe Cole.
And Joe Cole. As a non-football fan, I'll assume that's a joke.
I think that's really funny.
No, I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. Sorry, Joe Cole.
Yeah.
He definitely doesn't listen.
I mean, yeah, I could have busted out some NFL-based ha-ha banter with you, but again, same thing would have happened. So here we go. Marcus Rashford, Manchester United star Marcus Rashford, announced recently that he was working with the charity Fair Share to help distribute food for children who rely on schools for their daily meals, and has raised so far a superb $20 million for the cause.
Incredible.
An amazing work. Good work, dude.
What a guy.
Joe Cole, former Liverpool, Chelsea and West Ham star, has helped set up a new charity with his wife to help provide equipment and help fund the NHS. Has donated $25,000 so far of his own money to launch Heroes Help Them Help Us, and has helped purchase 50 3D printers to build thousands of medical visors for frontline staff.
Wow.
Amazing work.
Great work.
Well done, Joe.
Great work.
Neymar has made a donation of almost £800,000, or 5 million Brazilian reals, to aid the battle against the disease. He split his donation between UNICEF and a solidarity fund created in his homeland of Brazil, but did it privately as he did not want to promote himself. And here we are promoting him. this is according to Brazilian President Chris Foles, who told UOL Neymar's donated 5 million of the Brazilian reals to help fight COVID. So, you know, you've got all these guys who obviously earn so much money as like superstars in their own right, and going, yeah, we need to do our bit. This is really important.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, and that he didn't want the publicity from that as well.
He was doing it because he wanted to, rather than like, look at me, I'm doing a thing.
Yeah.
Which is really important, I think.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That is important.
So Tottenham manager Jose Mourinho has been lending a helping hand to the local community while the football season is suspended. He's been using his time to volunteer, so elderly people in Enfield have got all the items they need. So while they stay indoors, I think it's amazing just to sort of go this like monolith of people within the football industry, I suppose, and he's just helping people out and helping out elderly people so that they can get the things they need.
Yeah, there's a picture here as well from Twitter where it's a picture of Jose Mourinho literally delivering something to people.
That's amazing. Especially if you're a football fan, being like, all right, mate, how's it going? Like, I think that's really wicked. That's really cool.
There is actually one last one as well. So Pep Guardiola, Man City manager, has donated £920,000 to help provide medical equipment in the fight against coronavirus in Spain.
Amazing.
So, I mean, a lot of things from these... Yeah, there's a list. We shortlisted... That list,
yeah.
We picked those ones which we thought were, you know, a really good, you know, for the podcast. But there is actually another list of like 10, 15 other footballers who have done great things. And we did an episode of this really early on about how footballers and sports stars are often...
The positivity around football.
It was one of the second or third episodes.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
And we, you know, sport, like positivity in sport, and about how sports stars often do a lot that we don't hear about because these kind of things, apparently, according to the media, are not in the public interest. And I think, you know,
yeah,
unless the star goes out of the way to make people aware that they're doing this thing.
Yeah, sure.
Like, Marcus Rashford, yes, okay, that thing was all over the news.
Mm.
That was a big deal because he then, his efforts then caused the government to do a U-turn on their free school meals plan. So,
yeah.
I mean, that was, I don't know, that just, for, you know, for a 22-year-old footballer.
Yeah.
He's 22? So he's 22? Yes. Yeah. To, the, you know, use his platform to then cause a change at government level, I think, is phenomenal. And
yeah,
for all of those others, you know, footballers and managers, and, you know, using their time and obviously wealth.
Yeah, yeah.
To put it towards something that positive is great.
Yeah, definitely. So amazing, amazing stuff.
Shout out. So we're getting to the end, Ben. It's time for good... Oh, wait.
That's happened.
We've done that.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just the end then.
It is time for ending.
And, oh, man.
Yeah, I know,
I've enjoyed that.
Yeah, it's been really good, yeah.
Yeah, I think every... I mean, we've picked a really random episode number to do the bumper special on.
Yeah, yeah.
So every 22 episodes now, we have to do a good news special.
Bring on episode 44.
Yes. Here we go.
No, I think it's been really great. And it's just something a little bit different for you guys, something a little bit different for us as well. Just to, and then just a collation of all the good news rather than, which is kind of what we wanted to start off with the podcast with. That's how the initial idea stemmed from.
It did.
You know what I mean? So just to do a bumper episode.
Back to our roots.
Back to the roots. Yeah, yeah. It's been really cool. Now, of course, you know, we had some amazing good news sent in. But if you've got good news that you've seen for us, you know, and you've got good news from around the world that you've seen, send it to us in the usual way on our socials at 2ppod or facebook.com/2ppod and Twitter and Instagram at 2ppodcast.
And you can also visit us on our website, which is www.2ppodcast.com. And you can email us at our brand new shiny email address, hello@2ppodcast.com. I mean, it's sort of old.
I was going to say, it's not the old.
The old rusty podcast
the
email.
Yeah.
I've taken the rust off.
Nice.
Dusted it off. Like, give it a little brush down. Yeah. And then, like, chrome polish.
Boom.
And then, I don't know. If
shiny,
that's
shiny new.
Shiny new podcast that once was old and rusty.
Yeah.
It's like one of those restoration videos you see on, like, Facebook. You scroll past. It's one of them. It's but like, for an email address.
Nice. So the American pickers of emails.
That's absolutely. Good. Yeah, I just saw it there. It was once, yeah, once a great thing that someone once treasured. Yeah. And it was just in someone's garage.
Okay.
And I just pulled it out there.
So thank you very much for listening.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks for listening, guys. Thank you so much. We love you all. Peace and love. He's been Kes.
And he has been Ben P with a P.
That is me. And see you next time. Lodge your love. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Did you say lodge your love?